creeping through the fog. Who that, y'all? V-I-N-C-E-N-T. I don't care what anyone says or has to say. Mr. Geppetto, Ultron, Papa Pope, Vecna, someone is puppeteering from the shadows. And we're here to pull back the veil on the grandest wizard of them all. We don't make the tea, we just sip it. That's the iconic reverse And I am Rob E2. Oh, and no importa que estás haciendo. No one cares how you feel. And on this episode of the Cash Shit Podcast, we are discussing the far right lane to WrestleMania, the opposite of must see, wrestling in Q1, and Cash It. Because
this is the Cash It Podcast.
Welcome back. I know you've been out and abroad, and now you've returned to your domicile in New York City.
Yes, I am home, thank God. Just in time for the release of WWE 2K23.
See, so now I'm about to just buy my own PS5 so I can get this game, because y'all going to get on my nerves by next week. I'm going to be ready to fight everybody. So I might order her while we're sitting here recording to be quite the fuck honest, because... Y'all playing war games and I can't.
War games is it. It's so much fun. I did Bloodline versus Judgment Day. It is really fun.
It's funny that you say that too, because I'm gonna give some Judgment Day praise later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I need to go ahead and get it. I've been enjoying Chamber, so I know that I'm definitely gonna enjoy war games. And I don't know. Even in real life, like there are certain gimmick matches that involve gimmick environments that I enjoy more than others, because sometimes the you know, apparatus they're using can impair the visual and it doesn't become as fun. And they found some workarounds for that, but like Hell in a Cell is one of those ones that's kind of just like, girl, I can't see. And it's the same thing on the game. It's like, girl, I can't see. Even when they give you your highlight and they show you like all the match highlights, like it'd be in a corner next to one of the pieces of the chain link, and you'd be like, girl, that's not a highlight. I was in there wearing her fin and I can't see it now.
You know what? I haven't even tried to click the highlight reel. I need to do it and see what they show me.
Oh, as you saw me sending y'all visuals and stuff, I'd be screen recording and everything. I'd be getting, I've been all up in that My Ride section, you know, carrying on. So, you know, just FYI. I think my actual PSN is Roberts_rules_. I'm not sure. I'll check again and we'll verify when we start inviting new hoes out there in the listening audience on to get your asses whooped.
Right. Well, and my PSN, it's Hail Rel 716. That's Hail, H-A-I-L. R-E-L-L 716. That's me. Thank you.
I'm going to cut my little Nash Carter mustache while you say your name again.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Enough of us gabbing in Gorilla. Do you have any shit opinions? I decided we needed to have a segment called Shit Opinions. Like unpopular.
Shit Opinions.
Do you have a shit opinion from this week? Just a shit opinion that you know is gonna give the girls like, oh, child, shut the fuck up.
I think like I probably gave that last time with the whole Mercedes Moné drag. I think I did enough.
Well, maybe we don't have. Maybe we are the shit opinion. Maybe the whole podcast.
I don't know. I'll try to think of one during the course of this episode. But what do you want to talk about?
Well, I've got my, speaking of opinions, I've got my rather conspiratorial opinion, and I don't know what the percentage is in terms of how much control I believe this man has. Again, I know what it can balloon into, if nothing else. But at this moment, this is just hearsay and conjecture, and just what my spirit is telling me. Because there's a lot of things that are not making sense on screen right now. And it's literally from Elimination Chamber to this point. Like, we just completely... And there was a slowdown. We weren't on air at this time. But there was a slowdown leading into the Royal Rumble. And I clocked it. We talked about it in our group chat. I was like, they're peeling back. And they were running that NXT formula of like, we're not going to have every star on every show.
Right,
we're gonna run what's pertinent to the angles, give things that require a breather, and highlight things that need to be highlighted, and probably switch the vantage on the things that are going to run concurrent and be a through theme. Like, you'll see one of the Usos and, you know, Solo, or you'll see the twins and not Roman and not Solo until the week after. Like, it was still some representation of the bloodline there. So they could remain a through line, but it was still, you saw them in a specific way or in some variation. And so they were peeling back, but it made sense because then it made everybody returning for the Rumble a big deal. It gave everybody a necessary breather, or a lot of a refresh for some new, you know, new angle storylines, theme music, whatever the case may be, a lot of things. But it made sense, right? Because we were running into the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Running into WrestleMania, as I said on the last episode, I don't really understand going skeletal in certain ways. And I don't understand undoing what were, you know, the obvious storylines and the obvious payoffs and those moments going into the show of the shows. And now, I think I was working or something Friday night. I forget what I was doing, but it got in the way of SmackDown, and I watched it without commentary. Normally, I'll go back and listen to the show, and I did later on, and some of it was better when I was able to hear certain things, but it still didn't feel like must-see, and I wasn't in a rush to go back and listen to it from what I saw on my screen. Raw had kind of already been in that bag, more of the same. The highlights are highlights, but there's like lows that I didn't anticipate and lows that we don't have to have in this moment, because we were doing so well at maintaining everybody and every storyline and every angle above a certain, you know, baseline. And now it's just getting a little weird, and it's weird to get weird now. And I don't know that we're pulling back to rev up, because we are super close to Mania right now. I think we have, what is this?
It's a good 17 days.
Yeah, two more Raws and three more SmackDowns.
I believe so. Yeah, we got five episodes of TV left, not including NXT for WrestleMania, before WrestleMania.
Yeah, so that's like, that's cutting it close for certain things. And there are certain things that still feel as brilliant. There are certain things that still feel good, but you can still feel the stall even in those. And then there's other things that just, it's like, okay. And I can find some enjoyment in certain things. Like, for instance, the whole tag team title thing is just, for the women, is super weird. But I can admit they worked Trish on Monday. They beat Patricia back into the Attitude Era, baby. They worked that. They worked Miss Mama's back into singledom, no kids, no husband. Like, they beat her back into the past.
I kind of got my life, I'm not going to lie to
you. They worked her. I was like, damn.
They said, fuck this face, fuck that face, fuck this face. Like, each of them took a turn smashing her face into something, and it was just...
Mama had a clean knot on her forehead. When she came back out later on, she had a clean knot on her forehead. So they're finding ways to, like, and what little time they have for this angle to, like, to kind of inject it with something personal, with some kind of a heat. And if, you know, if we keep doing this going for the next two Raws, okay, then it may be a little bit more behind it. But, you know, it's a feud that doesn't have the steam that some of the other ones did. But by and large, one thing I think I find very weird right now is the booking of... So if you were to have to, like, take the WrestleMania lineup right now and write everybody's name down, one person out of each matchup is kind of carrying the load on the shows right now. And they're wrestling more than their opponent is. And I find it really strange, because the whole thing is wear and tear, da 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 da. And it makes the, like, the mini feuds are going into on the road to WrestleMania completely inconsequential. Like, you know that Chelsea Green and or Carmella is not doing shit to Bianca in between now and then. Right. Like, so why is she even fighting them? And why is she having a match every other fucking week when she's the longest reigning singles black champion we've ever fucking had?
Black women.
Hello? And she's going into a defense up against, you know, a psychotic Asuka. So, like, why are you, you know, taking on the wear and tear every week, putting your body... You've proved your point. You've held this belt for so long, you could pull a Roman and just chill out right now. But instead, you're the champion. You know, is really the one that's looking unstoppable going into Mania. And that could work in either direction. But if she washes Asuka, then it's like, well, girl.
I'm not too happy with the build so far with Bianca and Asuka. It's very much just Bianca wrestling random people that have no chance of beating her, and then Asuka doing a run-in and staring.
And spilling some Gatorade out of her mouth.
Right. Asuka should be the one, to your point, Asuka should be the one to be wrestling and building her up with these wins on TV. And we are stuck in this, I respect you type of deal, but nothing is pushing forward, it seems. Like, I have no doubt this may very well end up being Bianca's best match to date.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite possible. No shade to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But the story going in is not hidden for me, like, at all. There really is no story, because they're not even cutting promos back and forth saying that they respect each other, but they want the title more, this and third. It's literally just Asuka coming in and staring at Bianca. Like, that's it.
Yeah, they're counting on the work rate at Mania to salvage this, and they're probably going to have one of the matches of the nights, and that's what's going to make this thing, I guess, at some point worth it. Or maybe, like we've said, she goes over Asuka, but then we get the full-on evil Asuka after that, and Asuka picks up the belt of Backlash, whatever the case may be. But as of right now,
WrestleMania Backlash.
Well, so, hey, hold, I got a text today about it being in Puerto Rico, and I saw something else, and it was still just Backlash. So it's funny that you said that, and I saw that, but then today they doubled down and was like, so, you know, it's
well, they called it WrestleMania Backlash on Raw.
Yeah, I know, but then I got a text today from, like, the WWE something or other about the event, and I'm sure that may have been harvested or old, but they didn't go in and change it there, and somewhere else I got something else, and it was just Backlash. Either way, a double-minded man isn't stable in all his ways. It's too many hands in that pot. That's a different discussion.
There's definitely a different vibe going on right now in the shows, and yeah.
And it's weird. It's a very weird vibe, because Raw was starting to feel, especially Raw, was feeling like grown-up NXT, which felt really refreshing and really good. But right now, like, so for instance, okay, so back to that. Here's where it's not cool. You got the same thing going on with Cody. Cody's taking on random people as well. And Cody cuttering them all from heaven and laying them out, right? You got Charlotte. Rhea's had a match or two, but Charlotte has had, like, a match every week as well, too. Again, the champion, you know, up here fighting and carrying on, da-da-da-da, Cody, the challenger. That, so for that, that makes a little bit more sense, because you want him to kind of get that build stoppable. It makes sense for him and Roman. But you've got, like, one half of each match kind of carrying, like, the in-ring wrestling load going into it, which is weird because you want to avoid wear and tear. And then the other part about it that's weird is that they're axiomatically going over somebody, and most of who they're all going over don't even have a spot on the WrestleMania card right now. So it's double burying those people.
I accepted a lot more with Cody because, as you said, he's the challenger
mm-hmm.
here. And honestly, Roman don't need to do anything but show up at this exactly. point.
Exactly.
He does not need to do anything but show up at WrestleMania at this point, right? This is really a Cody Rhodes story, and we're waiting to see if his story can trump Roman Reigns' reign and the bloodline domination. So I'm fine there. And
mm-hmm. Agreed.
And Cody, I am fine with Cody cutting a promo every show until we get them in it, because that fucking promo on Raw...
Amazing. Amazing.
That fucking promo on Raw was a masterclass. That was phenomenal. And that kind of shit, like, he really learned from the school of his father of talking them into the building. And that's exactly what he's doing. Like, he is...
Mm-hmm.
He is talking. We're already going to be there. We have our tickets, but he is talking me into excitement more and more in this match. And my God, do I want you to win now? Like, I don't know who I want to win this match, and that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
It's a very good thing. I feel that way about a lot of the matches, and that's a very good thing as well. Like, I'm sold enough on everybody that's involved in the card so far that I'm really not necessarily invested in other than wanting Bianca to complete that number and get the longest reign, I don't have a dog really in any of the fights because of what's been done to this point. I don't, because like the way Charlotte talked to Rhea on Friday, the way she talked to her on Friday was very much like, girl, like.
So you can do all that. You can be everybody ass. Set me, baby. And I'll see you later.
Just, I breathe this thing. You get better. I get better every day. Like I was like, and there was really nothing you could say about what Charlotte was saying.
Right.
And no one, and work rate versus work rate. And she didn't lie. So I was sitting there like, girl. So what should be happening is Rhea should be buzzsawing through people, whether it's in the ring or attacking bitches backstage or just something. In a way that's making her look more like her going over Liv Morgan isn't impressive. I'd rather her go over and maybe like a Piper Niven or somebody that was like, okay, she ended with a big bitch. Like, let's, like, you know, like something that's making her look. Though Rhea doesn't need too much to make her look because she's Rhea, bro, right. Buddy Ripley. She's doing fine. But we need something like, you know, along the way, like Charlotte's going out there wrestling somebody different every week. Bianca's out there wrestling somebody every week. The Usos and Sami Zayn and all of that, anything bloodline related up, that all makes sense. I really can't fight that. But Edge is barely there. When he does come, he cuts a promo. Finn been fighting every fucking week. Dominic's fighting every fucking week. Ray here and there, but Ray mostly just been walking out in Gucci sweaters and loafers the last 3 weeks. And I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. Gunther's on chill, as he should be, and it's giving very much y'all can prove y'all shit to me. Another thing, same thing with Theory facing a part-timer. He's there doing his work, but I get that.
Stop right there, Logan. Stop right there, because okay. I need to address. I absolutely can't fucking stand when John Cena or anybody else comes through as an established main eventer, as somebody who can dictate the perception of someone for the general audience. Running down, Austin Theory is not at a place where he can be run down like that and people be like, oh, that was a good promo, but that ain't Austin Theory. He's not there yet. Like, he did the same thing to Roman, but Roman was a certified main event at that point. Everybody knew he was next up, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. There was nothing you could have said to Roman in a promo that would harm him. If Austin Theory does not win and win handily at WrestleMania, they have just buried the fuck out of him with this promo and then a loss. He has, like we say this all the time when people do this, now they have to win, but this WrestleMania, it's against John Cena and somebody might be back running things, right? So I'm not absolutely sure that Austin Theory isn't going to get Rusev'd at WrestleMania. Like, it does not make any fucking sense to bury that man on the mic the way he did going into WrestleMania. Like, why am I interested in this match now? If Austin Theory is what you say he is, and this is basically you giving him a sympathy match, why the fuck do I care?
Right. And there's sometimes, to your point, there's sometimes, I think Theory is going over. And to me, there's just, but to your point, with what's going on, it could get weird. But I'm trying to remember, who was it that Stephanie cut that promo against, that other, it was a female wrestler she cut a promo against and pretty much buried somebody.
Oh, Alexa?
It wasn't AJ.
No. She did cut AJ down, but AJ was the champion at that time. She was the top female, but I do believe she did something with Alexa as well.
It's somebody that didn't recover. I forget who it was. The point I was going to make is this. There, even sometimes, if the other person wins or is a champion, whatever the case may be, it can reshape the perception towards that person, and them holding that belt won't even matter anymore. Like, there are certain people that can cut a promo, like, to your point, and even if he wins, it still kind of has done maybe more harm than good, even if he were to win. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, he would have to win in, like, dogged fashion. He would have to go out there and dog walk John Cena at this point. Right. So, yeah, either way, same thing with that, lopsided. Seth and Logan, of course, Logan isn't there every week. I ain't really worried about Logan because I know when he get in that ring, he gonna cut the fuck up. So, there go, you know, do what you can. The Maverick, Logan Paul.
Come on, Maverick.
The Maverick. Bray and Bobby, I guess that's in abeyance for the moment. If that does wind up on this card, and if we, you know, if everybody's back in the building in the next week or two, it don't need to be nothing. Like, we don't cut the vignettes. cut Uncle Howdy. It need to be them two motherfuckers knocking the shit out of each other backstage for the entirety of the show. It needs to be Peter and the Chicken with Bobby and Bray until we get to Mania.
I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. I love them both.
It ain't gotta happen for me. It ain't gotta happen this point.
Bray Wyatt. I do not care about this. If Brock and I shouldn't say care. That's the wrong word. You know, words have meaning. So because I do care about both of them, right? I am not interested in Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt in an in-ring perspective, from an in-ring perspective. Because, you know, that is a clash of styles that, to me, doesn't really work out.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't see it. And if it wasn't for Omos versus Brock, it'd be the match I'm least looking forward to. Bobby and Bray is so fucking weird. It's so weird.
Well, but what I'm saying about that is that if it is going to happen, we have two Raws to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You can only sell that with something smash mouth and violent in the next 2 weeks that makes us go, well, bitch, I did not see that coming. Like, you're gonna have to, but I don't think they have enough time to tell that story, to be honest. Depending on, you know, other logistics and whatnot. But yeah, there's that. Brock and
we still don't know what Bray's problem with Bobby Lashley is, period.
I don't disagree. Anyways, Brock and Omos, I do not want to see it. That will be my bathroom break. I may be in the merch stand. I've not cared this little about a match in at least 6 or 7 months, but I care very little about this match.
Stupid ass Raw crowd chanting holy shit. Y'all just chant for anything because they were standing in the ring together. Like,
well, the crowd was also dead for certain parts that were like they should have been up. That was a weird crowd the other day. I don't know what that was about. And then DC versus Becky, Trish, and Lita. I'm not mad at it, but it did take it up a notch. It's starting to cook a little bit on Monday, but I mean, it was, you know, a backroom beat down, and you know, okay, cool.
The only thing that pisses me off about that is the tag titles are wrapped up in that, so they're not going to be defended.
Hate that. I totally hate that because, to your point, and I agree, that cuts down the number of women that could have been on the card. So you've got, you know, Candice LeRae, Medium, Piper Niven, Nikki Cross. I mean, you got a host of Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan. A roster full of women that are nowhere near this card right now.
And it's so weird. And that's it. Like, there are signs that we keep talking about, right? That there is something foul. Like, there's some fishy.
Odious.
Going on, right? Because the way we know Triple H cares about the women, the women's tag titles and things like that, for them to be pretty much put on the shelf for WrestleMania when they were on two of his projects.
It's something
and,
right.
And now, like, Ronda and Shayna, like, where is this going with them? Ronda isn't even on the card as of yet. Like, how is Ronda Rousey not on the WrestleMania card yet? How does she not have a match already announced and being built towards? This is so confusing.
As of right now, Alexa Bliss, Piper Niven, Nikki Cross, Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, Carmella, of course, Dana Brooke, Tamina Snuka, Beth for her interactions, Maryse for her interactions, Chelsea Green, Emma, Scarlett Bordeaux, Maxine Dupri, Lacey Evans, B-Fab, Valhalla, Zelina Vega, Xia Li, Natalya Neidhart, Shotzi Blackheart, Sonya Deville, Liv Morgan, Tegan Knox, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler. I mean, none of SmackDown is completely nowhere near WrestleMania right now. The women of SmackDown have been literally shut out of WrestleMania.
Access denied.
I don't understand. This is so, and they seem to be in this place of coasting to WrestleMania, not doing anything like
totally
crazy. They're like, okay, let's just get to WrestleMania. It really feels like I'm watching a struggle between two people who have two different concepts styles. And ideas and styles, mm-hmm. all that going into the biggest show of the year. And it just, and it seems to be like, it's just stagnant. We're just coasting.
We're in cruise control heading to WrestleMania.
Yes. And I don't know. I am very concerned about what's happening and what's going to happen coming out of WrestleMania. I don't know. It's just, I am stressed. This thing is stressing me out because it is such a stark difference
mm-hmm.
from just the Elimination Chamber show and the lead up to that and the last 8 or so months of WWE that we've had. Like, it mm-hmm. has been a significant change.
Everybody's so creative.
Out mm-hmm. of nowhere. So that mm-hmm. there is no way that there isn't something going on back there, that there isn't some kind of a struggle going on. Like, this is just super fucking weird. It is weird.
And what makes it, like, so, you know, for those listening, what makes it weird to us, right? Because by and large, the card is still very solid, right? Because the majority of the card is pretty brilliant. But, you know, what doesn't make it, and here's the thing, like, Gunther and or Sheamus and Drew, like, they're still set for one of them to face Gunther. It may end up a triple threat, but as of right now, that's still set up for one of them to face Gunther. And you know, Triple H loves, you know, a lot of one-on-one matches. So even right now, Drew and or Sheamus could not be on the card 2 weeks out, which is a little bit insane and sounds like a lot of battle royals headed our way. But by and large, the card, you know, Roman, Cody, Usos, Sami and KO, Bianca, Asuka, Charlotte, Rhea, Edge, Finn, Rey, Dominic, Gunther versus either or both, Austin and John, Seth and Logan, Bobby and Bray if that happens, Brock and Omos, DC and against the other ladies. There's only really one match I do not want to see. I mean, it's literally a very solid card, but I say that to say, there's so much brilliance up here that where, like, the cruise control is heavy, it makes it really obvious. If this was last year's card, it probably wouldn't be as obvious. Yeah, but this year's card, with the vestiges of brilliance that are still, like, intact going into WrestleMania right now, it makes the things that are not on board look fucking insane.
Yeah, the one that stands out the most to me is Bianca and Asuka. Since Asuka won the Elimination Chamber, that's how she became number one contender, right?
Yes.
Okay. So since Asuka won, yeah. Carmella and her were the last two.
Mm-hmm.
Literally nothing has happened with this mm-hmm. with this build. Nothing has happened. We've gotten nothing. It's like, who is writing this shit?
Let's stop pretending they have talent, please.
Like, you mean to tell me Triple H is in charge of this build for Bianca and Asuka? I don't believe it. Something is going on. And it's even worse because, like, even when Vince was fully in control and whatever, it wasn't this bad. Because when I say nothing has fucking happened, they haven't touched one another. They haven't done anything that, like, there's no real heat or animosity there. They haven't cut promos talking about respecting each other. Aside from the very next night when they were like, okay, we're wrestling. And Bianca came out there like, I hope you were saying that you can't wait to get in this ring with me because I feel the same, blah, blah, blah. That was the last we've heard from either one of them regarding this match. Like, that was the last time something even happened regarding this match, and that was just a 2-minute promo. It's just, it's insane. It's mind-boggling to me.
It's almost like they don't know who they want to be the face or the heel or how they want to run the program is maybe with two tweeners or even how they ran Asuka versus Charlotte. It's like they don't know what to do with the characters right now, which is weird because I know that Triple H knows what he wanted to do with this and how to book that.
It's Asuka and Bianca.
Right. You don't have to do but so much, baby.
Right. And look at how he booked both of them when he was completely in charge in NXT mm-hmm. with them. Like mm-hmm. Or just look at the past 8 months on the main fucking roster. This is so different than it is just different. It's just different. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they need to speed this up. What's it gonna take?
I did not see you saying that. Now that just shocked me right there.
Speed this up, like, because we're 2 weeks out. Okay, I don't want to be the week of WrestleMania and Kevin Owens is like, okay, cool, I'll team with you. No, like, what's it going to take, baby?
Yeah, hold on, because
I'm about to go off on this one. And Kevin Owens is back there cutting these fucking promos about why would I team with Sami Zayn? Can you blame me? Motherfucker, you are the one who has turned on this man 16,000 goddamn times throughout his career, and you are out here talking like you've just been the best friend from day one to this motherfucker. Like, forget the shit that happened outside of WWE. We've seen you turn on this man at least 3 times in the WWE. You're the first night in the WWE. You hugged him and then wrecked his ass with an apron powerbomb. What are these promos? And how has Sammy not come and said, okay, bro, hold on. I understand I fucked up a little bit. I thought I had something going on. But you want to sit down and discuss everything you've done to me that I've clearly forgiven you for and I'm trying to create this partnership? What is going on? It is like now we're back to, hey, don't remember nothing that's come before this. Don't have a memory. Just focus on what's being said now. And we know who likes the book that way.
Baby. And I just, at this point, I want to know how Triple H is even keeping him, like, at bay. That's what I want to know. I want to know at this point, like, how is he even fighting that man off? Like, what? How's that looking right now?
Speed this the fuck up. He got his ass whooped on Raw, lost the match. Friday on SmackDown, get it together, boom, boom, boom. That way, maybe next week, we can have a 6-man tag with the Usos in Solo versus Sammy Owens and Cody and have that end up in a big schmoz with Roman coming in. And, let's get to it. The heat is there. The gas is there. Let's just throw the flame on. You know what I'm saying? Throw the match mm-hmm. down. Let's get to it so we can announce this tag title match and start building towards that match with it being an official match so we know.
I'm dying so tired. I'm really, really tired.
I'm really tired. I don't even think Sammy did enough to warrant this.
No, he didn't.
Like, he didn't. It didn't even things he did do, like, were half-assed and, like, just, bro, get out the way. Like, I'm with the clique. I'm doing good. Life is good. Everything's copacetic out here.
The worst thing he did was in War Games. And guess what?
Yep.
He was on your opposing team. Y'all were on different teams. Y'all were supposed to be fighting each other, bro. You mad because he got one up on you and won?
That's how that's looking.
It's, there's such a... There's a disconnect here. Like, are we supposed to be cheering for Owens? Because he's acting like a fucking dick right now.
Yeah, and it's starting to edge there for the crowd too. Like, all right, girl.
Are we supposed to be behind Owens? Because I'm not right now.
He don't want Cody to help him. He don't want this person to help him. He don't want to, like, do you've been trying to, like, take down the bloodline and understood. Prior to now, you understood there was strength in numbers. And now all of a sudden, it's giving. I don't need nobody. I'm going to do it all by myself. You a single black mother now. Like, I don't.
Woo. I don't get it. So let's talk about Rhea and Charlotte real quick. Because one, they gave us the weakest movie parody or whatever parody TV show
mm-hmm.
to date with the Rhea Ripley as 11, right? They could have done a lot more with that. But John Cena specifically stated that Rhea was main eventing WrestleMania in that commercial. Like, mm-hmm. it was he specifically said, "You are main eventing WrestleMania."
Yes, he did.
Is Charlotte and Rhea main eventing night one? Because if so, clock me the fuck in.
And Cody already called the end of night yeah, two.
We know that was happening.
Which we right? knew.
Because I've been saying, like, you know, I would love for the tag titles to main event WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. That would be fucking amazing. And I'm fine with it being Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as the main event. But if Charlotte and Rhea are going to be the main event, clock me the fucking... Listen, it needs to be a banner weekend for the Judgment Day. Okay?
So, banner. They're getting ready to replace the Bloodline. If don't nobody yes. see that writing on the wall right now, they're getting ready to replace the Bloodline.
Yes.
I feel like that is buku obvious. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see it, you don't want to. They're getting ready to replace the Bloodline. And
yes, as the number one stable in the
stable. They are being politely groomed. The only person that's got to step their pussy up right now is Damian Priest. And
Give him the battle royal in dominant fashion. Mm-hmm. Have Dominic go over and retire his daddy. Remind me to go back to that in a bit. I already said I wanted Rhea to dog walk Charlotte. And Demon Balor needs to return. And it's going to be really
interesting. He already said that.
Yeah, hell couldn't handle my demons. So, you know, what I wanted him to say is hell couldn't handle my demons. So let's see if Hell in a Cell can. Like, he should have took that a little bit further and drove that home. But whatever, you know, nice little nod. But this is the first time we'll see heel Demon in the WWE. That should be interesting. The entrance is going to slay, obviously.
Nasty.
And he needs to go over Edge. I think he will. Judgment Day needs to come out on the other side of this so motherfucking strong. They need to be able to come out post-Raw, post-SmackDown, and drag everybody. Carry the motherfuckers on thrones to the ring. I want them to have a banner night. And if Dominic isn't escorted to the ring by every chulo you can find, unite the Latin Kings, the Bloods, the Crips, every jailhouse motherfucker you can find in West, East, South LA.
Oh, Father God.
Okay? Like, bring him out in cuffs and take him off when he gets to the ring and release him, like, do the things. Like, let's lean all the way in, as you like to say, let's lean all the way into this shit, right? Mm-hmm. Judgment Day needs to have a banner weekend. They are behind the Bloodline and Undisputed Era. They are the best built stable
in a very long time.
I am saying this with a stable with Dominic Mysterio, and there is not a weak player in the fucking bunch. I don't know how the hell Dominic Mysterio has managed to turn me completely around on him, but I look forward to that motherfucker more than most of the roster every week.
That he didn't get him a Mercedes, bitch, and I was out.
He done. Said, and you bought me a BMW?
A BMW? And not even an M series. I was weaker than water. I was like, bitch, this is fucking hilarious. And the Eddie Mullet, it's not going unnoticed. That is a good old wet Eddie Guerrero mullet, and I am into it. Dom, keep doing the things you're doing.
How is this man one of my favorite characters on TV? His in-ring has even stepped up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sitting watching this man like, boy, what Tom will do and what the right character and right gimmick and right story that you actually care about will do, because he is eating. He is eating.
And what's even crazier is, like, we're not even behind his story. Like, your dad ain't been deadbeat, bitch. Shut up.
Right. Right. At all. But, you know, and then they announced Ray for the Hall of Fame induction. And smart. I'm like,
Brilliant.
Before I say that, I've called that if I'm Rey Mysterio, this is my swan song. Like, ain't shit else this man can do in the business. Mm-hmm. And now you get to wrestle your son on the biggest stage of them all, which is in what's going to be the highest grossing WrestleMania of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm going home. You got it. You got it, baby boy. Take it. Like, it's yours now. Like, take it. You got to retire after that. And you're going into the Hall. And what I don't want is for them to use the Hall of Fame induction as an angle. I understand it's all wrestling. Yeah.
This needs to be it.
But
he has nothing else to prove.
Yeah. I don't want them using his induction as like being interrupted. And I think they've set it up where it isn't, because Dominic said during his promo, he was like, I'm going to let you rock. Like, you deserve the Hall of Fame, whatever. That's going to be your night. You got it. Whatever. I'm going to leave it be. But the next night, I want that ass in the ring.
I'm knocking your block off, old man.
Yeah, so he already set up, like, Judgment Day not going to interrupt, and I really don't want to do that. There are things that should be, I don't want to say sacred, because it's all wrestling.
Sacred.
Like,
no, it's sacred.
A Hall of Fame induction, if you don't want the Hall of Fame to be looked at as a joke and not serious, like, and not careful, like, don't do that. Yeah. Have it be a serious Hall of Fame induction.
The most I would want is when he's done and walks back to the curtain, Dom is standing there like,
yeah.
See you tomorrow, Hall of Famer. Like,
yeah, that's it. But the attacking him and running him down during his speech, no, none of that. I'm very much looking forward to that match. I want to see what these two are going to do, because you can't tell me they ain't been practicing and getting ready for this match for the past 15 years.
He's had that boy in the lab for a long time with this baby.
You can't tell me 15 years of getting ready for this ain't been happening. I'm clocked the fuck in.
And he probably told him a long time ago, I want you to be who retires me.
I don't see how you don't. I don't see how you don't go home after that if you're Rey Mysterio. Greatest mass superstar of all time. Most prolific luchador of all time. World champion, WWE champion. Like, you have set the mold, baby. You are it.
He could also turn heel and come back and manage Dominic at some point.
You know, Vicky is going to be available real soon, so I would not mind her returning and blessing, you know, Dominic. Judgment Day could use an actual manager instead of being each other's managers. Even though
I don't want to see that Karen haircut in Judgment Day.
I know. I don't either, but...
Spiky ass Karen.
Maybe a cameo or two.
Jan 6 haircut. Once he goes solo, yeah, but I don't want her nowhere near that right now. Judgment Day is doing just a fine.
Yeah, no, they keep are. Her absolutely away. Right. You I'm are sure absolutely
she
right.
She got a January 6th to plan, I'm sure. I don't want her nowhere near. Speaking of women that should be free, at some point in time, it's looking like you can look, but you can't touch, because the Garcia twins, the ultimate scammers, are about to be free.
Right after this game done dropped, the day the game dropped, where they go get all this coin from this game, they said, okay, so we would like to formally announce our departure from WWE in the Bella name. And I didn't even realize they made a formal announcement.
That's why when I said it to the chat, I was like, bitch.
Listen, we will be known as the Garcia twins from here on out.
Walking into doors you didn't see. I said, forbidden doors. Ooh.
But you can still send those royalty checks for the game we're in. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, the address has not changed. It's still the Danielson estate. It can still receive those checks. And I thank you. I screamed. I was like, ooh, do it. Because that will bring some immediate eyes to that women's division, and they sorely need it.
I was talking to a friend, Marcus, in a group chat, and I stated that they are the most valuable, available women in wrestling right now as far as bringing new eyes to a promotion. They are 100% it, because it's not just wrestling fans they're going to bring. They're going to bring the fans of the reality show. They're going to bring fans up there, especially with this all-access shit coming for AEW. Like, Tony Khan needs to do everything he can to sign those women, because the amount of eyes they brought to WWE through that Total Divas show is ridiculous. And they are a brand among themselves. They're going to do some work to get the Garcia name to where Bella is.
But
they're them. They're them. People are going to follow. They have 10 million and 8 million followers, respectively, on Instagram. They're going to have the people follow them. Okay? They're going to have the people follow them.
Barmageddon alone.
Yes.
Barmageddon. They've got Barmageddon going on. They've got their, don't they have like a children's clothing line?
I don't know all the happenings that the Garcia have.
Yeah, they've got Birdie B. They've got Birdie B.
Great.
Oh no, they are tremendous businesswomen, and so they're bringing casual eyes, the eyes of women, and that division will have to get ready, you know, because you're gonna have a whole new set of eyes on y'all that y'all didn't have before, and it's hey, listen, that right there is bankable, no pun intended.
I trailed off there, but the point I was gonna make is that when I said that, Marcus corrected me. He was like, women and men. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right, because what available guy out there has that kind of crossover appeal?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
technically, The Rock is what? Available? But no, he's not. If he's returning to wrestling, he's going to WWE. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's Nikki and Brie.
Yeah, it's sickening. They are two of the most, and I'll say, like, maybe the most transcendent stars that women have ever had, because what they've been able to do that wasn't done before is an extended tenure in that. And then they broke away from the Total Divas umbrella and were still generating numbers. They were still draws. So, and not even that. Think about how many people credit Total Divas for bringing them back into wrestling.
So many men, women alike. Yes.
You know, straight, so gay,
yep.
The Bellas are really those girls, whether however you feel about them. Oh, excuse me.
They said they are the Garcia twins.
I am so sorry. The Garcia girls.
Can you imagine they showed up as the Garcia girls?
The Garcia girls. Period. Like, I would levitate. Do you hear me?
As far as women go, that whose fame started in wrestling, that's where their roots are, there is not a bigger crossover female ever. I there just isn't. And if you even include men, they're still probably going to be in the top five.
I don't. Yeah, they are. And I don't know of any women that have done it that have had the tenure that they have had. Like, they have had they've been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They've been marketable outside of wrestling for a long time. And then they've been away from wrestling and still been able to sell this name and their presence as top tier. And there's a huge opening for that kind of leverage inside of the AEW women's locker room. So, cheers to that. If that can happen, do they have a women's tag team division yet or no?
Not yet, but I feel like it's coming. And so we talked about this before, Ruby, Saraya, and Toni Storm. They're known as the Outcasts now, the Outcasts, right? And they quite literally refer to them as outsiders last week on Dynamite. And I was just like, talk about on the nose. They're known as the Outcasts. It is quite interesting that, and the ratings say the same. Like, they were heavily featured on Rampage this past week, and them Rampage ratings did what it hadn't done in a very long time, and that shot the fuck up. And they closed out Rampage.
So if not Ruby, how much of a gag would it have been if the third woman or women was the Garcias?
There's still room. Yes, it's only three of them against the whole division of women, right? There is still room. Like,
Ooh, that would be a gag.
Yeah. You want, like, Saraya can be like, oh, no, I got some, like, it's too many. I got some girls that feel the same way we do about you homegrown bitches. Y'all will see them next week. Holla at me next week. Holla at me next Remember, week.
When DiBiase said this week four, mm-hmm. next week five.
Next week five.
Look, this week three, next week five.
Like,
I would love for Amberika to be in a managerial capacity and let Nikki do all the heavy lifting. But that would be a gag.
Yeah, I enjoy the Outcasts. They are clearly having fun with what they are doing. This spray painting L on people because they're losing is just hilarious to me. And they are doing a damn thing. It is probably my favorite thing going on in AEW right now, along with the House of Black
finally being hard. The
trip. Well, yeah, lately the six man tag team champions now. So yeah,
is Nash or Waltman available to kind of christen them, or are they all tied up in Legends contracts?
I believe they are tied up, and they ain't going up. They ain't doing that to Triple H. I don't see that happening.
And so I did catch the end of, what was it? Not Rampage, but Dynamite, where they took the belt off of Wardlow.
Yeah, they put it on Hobbs.
Yeah.
And, it was a weird ending. I don't know why the fuck they had him beat Joe on pay-per-view to then drop it right to Hobbs when Wardlow needed to be heated back up again. Maybe there's a plan. Oh, God knows if there is. Tony Khan does some interesting booking at times. Like, ooh. So I don't know what's going on there, but they need to get it together. But congrats to Hobbs. Hobbs definitely deserves a push. Yeah.
And they said Danielson and MJF showed out.
Oh, yeah. The best Iron Man match there's ever been, and I've seen every single Iron Man match that's been televised. Let me repeat for those in the back. MJF versus Bryan Danielson was the very best Iron Man match I have ever watched, from top to bottom, ever. It was
that's right.
Fan-fucking-tastic. MJF did what he needed to do. Bryan Danielson wrestled for an hour. Say less. There was this one dumbass fucking spot that MJF did where he threw the liquid. We don't know if it was water. Some people are speculating that it ended up being tequila. And let me say, I understand being a heel, but he's coming off as a tryhard now. Like, the promos lately, and it's just like, he's just trying too hard. And then going into the crowd, let me tell you why that was really fucking stupid. That could have gone so badly. That could have had gone really left. Because there was no security around him. Mm-hmm. If that was a different Black Mama,
mm-hmm.
and he turned his back immediately, what if she would have picked up a chair and knocked you clean the fuck across your head and knocked you out? And completely fucked up the last 30 minutes of this big pay-per-view and this title match. What if, because what he did is quite literally assault. What if she went and got a police officer and said, I want to file charges? Guess what that officer would have had to do right then and there? Step over that fucking barricade, get in that ring, and arrest MJF live on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It was completely fucking stupid. Also, that kid and the mama can go home, even though they got all this stuff. He got to meet his favorite wrestler, Hobbs. He got all his merchandise. He got tickets to the following Dynamite. If it's me and I'm Tony Khan, but you're going to be a front row at every pay-per-view for the next 3-4 fucking years, okay?
Yeah.
To prevent some shit until the statute of limitation runs out on this shit. Because if they go home and somebody gets in mama's ear and says, you know you could. You could sue these motherfuckers, right? Because
you wanted to.
Wait about 3 months, and then you come back and say, oh, all the kids at school who saw it, They have teased my son about it. They have bullied him about it.
You're ugly. You're poor. You don't have a good relationship with your parents. You don't really take care of your mental health. You don't have that many close friends.
Now my son has PTSD. Damage, PTSD about it. He I'm suing AEW. I'm suing the arena. I'm suing Warner Media because y'all are the ones, the partners. Like, this could go so left still. I do not know how the fuck he thought that was a good idea in any way, shape, or form. You can say motion and do whatever you want, but the moment you cross the line and become physical with a fan, with a child, it's, and I might sound dramatic, you might say I'm being overdramatic about it, but no, these are things that literally could have happened. What if the father was on his way back from the bathroom and he saw that and he ran up and knocked the fuck out of MJF? And but now you're going to arrest the father, right?
Tequila in the eyes just sounds really painful.
See, some people are saying it was water. Some people, it was a clear liquid in a clear cup. Could have been tequila, could have been water. It hasn't been confirmed what exactly it was. Regardless, I don't give a fuck what it was. If it was just water, you don't take the water and throw it on a child.
Yeah, that's his definition of heel goes a bit above and beyond.
I'm fine with him flipping off children and cursing them out at autograph signings and stuff. Do all that. That shit's funny.
I mean, no, even his story about getting the blowjob and moving the girl's lifeless body into. I was like, okay.
Yeah, this was like, and then apparently I missed this one, but apparently he cut some kind of like suicide attempt promo. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I heard people talking about like them not liking his promo from Dynamite that I didn't even watch, so I can't really speak on it. But for a while now, I feel like he's been trying too hard, and you don't have to try that damn hard, like at all. You're already over as a heel.
Yeah, you don't need to be dastardly at every turn.
You don't need to throw water in a child's face. That is just fucking stupid. It is like, just dumb. It's really fucking dumb.
And I don't think, I'm sure that it wasn't scripted. Like, I'm sure that
no, it wasn't. Tony, it wasn't at all scripted.
Yeah. I'm sure Tony was in the back like, oh, Christ Jesus. Oh, God. Like, you know, like, that's just, like, we're here now.
Yeah, everybody was pissed off.
And was there any rebut, or did he was just like, you know.
He made light of it at the press conference when they asked about it. Tony Khan said they had a serious conversation, blah, blah, blah. And then MJF was, you know, making jokes about it. And said, I forget the kid's name, but he called the kid's name. And was like, yeah, I like that guy. Salt to the earth, that kid. Just being funny. But what happened is Amanda Huber, Luke Harper, Brody Lee's wife, who works mm-hmm. there now, she mm-hmm. immediately went out, bought him a bunch of merchandise, and then took them backstage and all that stuff to kind of reconcile it, but
assuage the damage.
There's still a possibility of a lawsuit if that mother wants to, and it's on film. It's on wax. It's there's no like disputing what happened. Like that's a slam dunk of a lawsuit, really.
Oh, poor them, poor dad. That's just. Is anything else interesting going on over there outside of
no. The answer is no.
Oh,
even Bryan Danielson apparently is on a break because he cut a promo after he lost, saying that he got a really good promo backstage right after the match, saying that because he tapped out to lose the match.
Oh,
and it gave a really good excuse as to why a babyface like that would tap out. He said he couldn't feel his legs, he couldn't feel and stuff like that. He was going numb. And MJF had cut a promo weeks before saying that he was going to send him back to his family crippled. And Bryan Danielson was like, that ran through my head. And at that moment, I realized I was putting myself before my family. And that's just one thing I cannot do. So I tapped out for my family. And
oh, that is a good expression.
Yeah, that it's really good. And he was like, I need to get my priorities straight and I need to go home for a while. So he's going home. So now I don't even have Bryan Danielson to look forward to on AEW.
Is Mox there?
Mox is there, yes, but he's not doing much. he stepped back since he had to carry that fucking promotion for the past year.
So he stepped back. Hangman is kind of here and there. Punk is still at home counting his coins. Mm-hmm. And Danielson went home to come back with Brie and storm the girls. With the Garcia girls. Ooh, AEW, girl. Ugh. I hope they got their pounce gear on because they may be able to do it after WrestleMania. So they need to be looking at like at their alternatives. They need to stay in striking mode at all times because your girl, Miss Vincent, could turn this on his head at any given moment.
Any given moment. And it's looking like it's a slow turn to that.
God, I just don't get his long play at all, other than just, I don't want nobody but me doing this.
And the lawsuits have seemed to stop popping up.
They have. We haven't heard of one in a while. And yeah. I'm sure the ones that are still out there are, you know, in litigation and taking.
How much you want to bet they all get paid off? They all get, they all get settled out.
Oh, man.
How much you want to bet? Because all of them are about money. They're literally about money. So, if the person is going to get paid and without having to pay his lawyers to go through this trial and stuff and to go through all this, they're probably going to take it. I would like to repeat, Vince McMahon is going to end up the winner at the end of all of this, regardless of what happens, okay? So I want everybody
he's to just gotta accept that meet, and
be ready for it.
He's got to meet Jesus at the gates one day.
One day, but child, me and you might meet Jesus before that. Because
you know, evil don't die. Evil don't right. die. It don't.
Right.
But my
Trump God. Just out here still living at 97 years old. And
I just don't understand. Here. I just don't understand.
And evil do don't. Parents. Really I just, don't. I don't understand. So, yeah.
I guess they'll hear from us. I think the next episode probably will be a cash out. I think we'll go ahead and cue that on up, get that in there. So guys, we looking forward to us dumping out. I think we're gonna do best turn or best backstab ever.
Mm-hmm.
And run that play. Probably a nice
Should do best turns. That way it's not just from face to heel, because there's been some great heel to face turns as well.
Very good. Yeah, oh yeah, best turn ever. So we'll start setting up for that and get you guys in the comments, randomize some brackets, and have Licky Cross come on up in here and officiate, and see where we land from there. And y'all can do those while we be at Mania. Y'all can listen to that while we go up there and get very, very high and go sit in the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to leave the people with on our way out?
No, we are 2 weeks away from traveling to LA for WrestleMania with our group. And let me tell y'all something about our group, right? When we gets ready to go, what do we do, Rob?
We go. It's no. All them other shit y'all be hearing about black friend groups and trips, that does happen. But with this group,
it don't apply here. Yeah, it don't apply here. It's so solid. Like we and shout outs to Casey, who is always willing Daddy to be like, Warbucks. Listen, we need to sit together. So
Daddy Warbucks. Here's
the card, buy all the tickets on that card, and y'all just send me the money. By this time,
$1 million girl. Casey
DiBiase. He starts it off, he gets that together, we get our trips together. Wesley done you and Wesley done did this research, and Wesley done booked these sickening rooms at the sickening hotel. I believe everybody's flight at this point is booked, secured,
on the manifest, ready to go.
We
I've got ready. Looks. I've got yeah. looks.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you something.
I've got looks.
I know that for each night, I'm going to have a different theme look. I think on night one, I know night one is going to be Judgment Day. I have a Judgment Day ensemble, and I cannot wait to put it on. I don't know what night two is going to give. It might be a throwback. It might be a legend. It might be something like Flair, Savage. I don't know yet. I'm still working on it, but Yeah.
So what I'm doing
Wesley
is
Wesley has clocked in too. I'm not going to spoil, but Wesley's clocked into it too. So he's going to give you a good wrestler themed Luke as well, and I can't wait to see y'all.
So what I'm doing is let me give a little preface. I'm going to do fashion homage. So it will be fashion colliding with wrestling inspiration. It's still going to be fashion. Just want to be clear.
It's going to be fashion.
Yeah, I don't want to go and see him like, oh, he didn't cosplay. He didn't get up and up. I'm not doing cosplay. When his body gets snatched where I want it, then y'all going to have hell to pay then. But until then, it's going to give fashion,
You want to see Maxine Dupree.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen.
Very much. I don't like that angle with Otis. Leave him in Alpha Academy.
Otis, excuse me. His name is Otis. Okay. His name is Otis.
I don't know. I want him in Alpha Academy. I love him in Alpha Academy.
comedy is where he is best. He is great at comedy.
He is amazing at comedy. And I guess they want to give Gable his, you know, singles run. I guess. Whatever. Anyways. So outside of that, we'll be back in you guys' ear holes with the cash out for the next episode. And outside of that, you can find him at @reverse_rail, me at @roberts_rules, and the overall handle at @thecashshit on all social platforms. Outside of that, we bid you adieu. And this is the Cash Shit Podcast.
Fuck Vince.